Gentlemen, Saturday evening sessions at men's retreat are always challenging. For the speaker to keep the athletes, the cyclists, the skeet shooters, the cornhole players awake. Hey, you're in for a treat tonight. Tell you more about that in just a minute. I'm not a funny guy. You know, I'm not a comedian. I don't know how to tell jokes. Sometimes things come to my mind. I'm not real quick and witty like that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Where's my new friend? Where's Michael? Where's you suck, man? I was trying to think of, you know, how men, they say that men bond by insulting one another. I've never understood this form of bonding until I met Michael. And Michael and I, we see each other in the hall. We now greet one another like, you suck, men. I'm stealing that, man. Hey, guys, I hope you have your books. We've got a couple of questions we want to ask you tonight. And let me tell you where we're going. I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes in way of introduction. And I asked my son Dave, who's with me this weekend, if he would be willing to share for a few minutes, how does a man who has suffered the loss of everything, how do you continue? How do you get up in the morning? How do you wake up? How do you face it when your wife is gone, your four children are gone, you have job loss, all your possessions that were in a storage area have been hauled off by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. How does a man get up in the morning and praise God in the middle of the storm? So you're going to hear from him in just a couple of minutes, because some of you guys are, you know, you're trying to figure this thing out. So I asked him, he's a very deep introvert, very deep thinking introvert, so I have to give him a lot of time, like, hey, Dave, you know, I'm thinking about this idea. I want you to think about it for a couple of days, and I'm going to maybe ask you just to share for about 5 minutes. So will you think about that for a week or so and let me know? And he did, and he said he's game. So you're going to hear from him, and I think the Lord's going to use it in a really big way. All right, let's go to your notebooks for a minute, and I hope you have a pen. Get your phone. If you're taking notes on your phone, it doesn't matter. But I want you to look at page 22, and we're going to look at this idea of who am I, with the tagline underneath it called Discovery Leads to Recovery. Discovery leads to recovery. And I think I mentioned, before I continue, let me pray as well. Father, I know that I don't know if the word is excited. I don't know if that's the emotion, but I know that I'm really looking forward to what you want to say to us tonight through Dave and what he's experienced in this life and how he's making it in his relationship with you, and just for the ministry that you want to have to him, through him, to us tonight. And Lord, for every man here that is thinking about who he is and why he's here, I pray for some more clarity tonight through our little time here and then the conversations that we have. Teach us tonight, Holy Spirit. Come and just surprise us, ambush us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you'll see some notes there on page 22 and 23. On page 22, it's just kind of a real broad statement that I felt pretty good about who I was. I'm going to say 0 to 22, you know. I told you I was born in Miami, moved to England, played sports. You know, I had some couple of tough moments in high school, but if you came up to me in 0 to 22, and if you asked me the question, who are you, I would have said, I'm John Woodall, you know, son of Oscar Woodall, and, you know, my dad works at Metropolitan Life, and we live in Knightsbridge, and I would answer it something like that. But I felt generally okay with my identity from 0 to 22. But honestly, a strange thing happened, and I really don't know what happened. But from 22 to 50, for the next 28 years of my life, I got lost. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, there's a verse tucked away in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Jason, we may have that verse. I don't know if you can get to it. No, next one. He says, I saw that... No, let's go back. Go back. I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. All toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. I don't know if you agree with that idea. I do. I think what happened is, as I wrote here on page 22, I started looking at other men who were smarter than me, who were richer than me, who had more things than me, that had more talents than me. And I got trapped in this envy trap, this comparison trap. And I got lost along the way. And for me, I don't feel like the real John Woodall started showing up until I was 50. That's 14 years ago. And so I don't pick a question like, who am I, as an interesting topic. Like, oh, that might be an interesting topic for men. That was an essential question for me. Because I got lost in who God made me to be. We said that this retreat is about restoring men to their original design. And these questions are meant to help you and me on a restoration journey and a restoration process where we understand from where we came and how our stories are shaping us as men. The restoration process has to include this question, who am I? Because if you're walking around in your false self, still trying to impress people by some external measure, man, it's just a matter of time before you go, I'm out. I'm cashing in. I'm leaving. I'm doing the next. But when you get anchored in this thing of who I am, discovery leads to recovery. Look at the top of the page. Jason, let's go back to that verse in Psalm 129. I would like us to read this one out loud. I'd like us to read this one out loud. Psalm 139, 14 to 17 says this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If you have a pen and you're taking some notes, would you circle the words fearfully and wonderfully made? Whether you think it yet, whether you feel it yet, God said that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. So, in that blank space on page 23, I want to give you a minute before I bring my son up, and I want you to answer this question the best you know how. And it could be blank because you haven't thought about it yet enough. But tonight, here at this retreat, answer this question. Who are you? I'm not asking you what you do. I'm not asking you tonight what you do. I'm asking you, who are you? Or answer it, who I am. Take a minute, give your best shot at I am, and then fill it out. Give you a second to do that. All right. You guys can, if you need more time to think about it, maybe take some more time tonight or tomorrow before you head back. But when you guys get into small groups, it'd be interesting. I know I would be very interested if I was sitting in your small group and say, what did you put there? And by the way, through that exercise, if some of you guys are sitting there going, man, I don't know who I am, and I don't know how I would answer that now, that's okay. You might be sitting in a circle with some men that have crystal clarity about that. And you can learn from one another. It's okay in this environment to steal another man's idea. You might say, oh, I like that. Yeah, that resonates with me. That's part of the purpose as well. Okay? So, before we continue on page 24, where I'm going to take you through this design exercise pretty briefly tonight, I want to introduce you to my son Dave, and I want to introduce him after this phrase that we learned from one of our mentors. Dave and I have a mentor. His name is Michael Wells. He's passed away. He died at 58. You can find a lot of his teaching at abidinglife.com. David named one of his sons, one of my grandsons, named him after Michael Wells. And my grandson's name is Wells Jake Monroe Woodall. Michael Wells has taught David and me many different one-liners. And one of the most powerful one-liners that I learned from Michael Wells is this phrase. You can write it down if you want. You are who you are in your worst moments. You are who you are in your worst moments. Now, some of you guys do a really good job in being Mr. Happy and Mr. Christian and Mr. Spiritual Guy or Mr. Something in your good moments. But who are you in your worst moments? Like when your wife pushes your buttons all the way to the brink, what comes out in that worst moment? When you're up 24 hours like my friend Mike was, night shift after night shift after night shift while his 14-year-old son is dying, what's coming out of this man in his worst moments? And Michael Wells, he got that phrase because he looked at our Savior, Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, you know, flogged, crucified, dying in his worst moment. He says what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And ever since he taught me that, man, I hang on to it. The reason why I want to introduce you to my son under that banner is I have seen David Monroe Woodall in his worst moments. 4 years ago, February of 2014, I stood by his side when his 10-day-old little girl passed away. And he had to stand there next to his wife in the Denver hospital when Olivia died. They get pregnant with courage within the year. Their marriage is on the rocks. We're talking from Atlanta to Boulder, Colorado. His company closes, Living Social closes in Boulder. And then his wife takes their three sons, Oscar, Wells, and Courage, in the dark of night with her parents. They take his three sons away from them, from Boulder, Colorado, and they fly down to Naples, Florida, with him saying, please don't go. Don't leave. Do not leave again. And while they're separated and she's in Naples, he calls and he says, Dad, my company's closed. My wife is gone. My children are gone. Will you come and help me move our stuff back to Georgia? And I said, absolutely. I fly out there March 31 of 2016. We drive back from Boulder to Atlanta. His possessions aren't even hardly unpacked from the Penske truck. And on Sunday, Master Sunday, April the 10th, 2016, he gets a call with his wife screaming that their one-year-old had fallen in the pool and drowned. And I stand by him in another worst moment. And so we've walked through this diabolical divorce over the last couple of years that just finalized July the 30th. So what is that, 2 months ago? And I have seen this guy. And you're only going to see him. You're probably going to wish, hey, Woodall, why don't you sit down? And Woodall Jr., why don't you finish talking? You know, but I'll let him talk as long as he wants. And I just want to say to you publicly, the man that you're going to see and that you're going to hear from is not the man that he is because I fathered him so well. I had to ask his forgiveness. We have been down the road like, Dave, I am sorry that I was not there from 0 to 18. I was not there the way that he needed me to be. He's not this man because he was fathered by this man. He's this man because he has been fathered by God in my absence. Does that make sense? John Eldridge wrote a book called Fathered by God. A bunch of you guys did not have fathers. And you're still kind of feeling like, well, how am I to make it in the world? Man, I didn't have a father. Nobody told me how to do it. Well, he had an absent father as well. But he allowed God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to father him and to take him through these kind of times. And so the Heavenly Father, when Jesus came, he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. And I want to say to you guys tonight, this is my beloved Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And I want you to hear from a man who's in a journey of calling on God in the worst of times. So would you welcome Dave Woodall, please? Okay, I'm going to get you to small group pretty quick. Go to this is a hard left turn, hard right turn. This is a couple of areas on that page 24. It's a real quick design exercise. If some of you have blanks, when you go to small group, you have blanks in your, I don't know who I am. I did not know how to answer it. These six layers of design acronym, drives, experiences, spiritual, impact, genius, and nature, are six layers that will help you and me understand not just our original design. Last night we talked about our original design. Every man here, we have the same original design made by God in His image, made with glory and honor, made to rule and subdue, and made for relationships. All of us have that. But every single one of us is a different snowflake, is a different fingerprint. There is only one you. And my ambition, my passion is that you would find out who you are. And these questions, again, we're just going to put them up if you want to take a picture of them. They're great. Let's start with the first one. In your drives, you're asking these questions. What excites you? What makes you angry? What fires you up? I heard some of this from a guy by the name of Bill Hybels who was up in Chicago. And do you guys remember the Popeye character? And he would say something like, I can't stand it anymore. And then he would take his spinach, get his big old muscles, look at that, take a photo of that if you want. It's a 13-inch bicep, fellas. And he would say, I can't stand it anymore. What is it, when I ask you the question, what is it that you can't stand anymore? And I'm not talking about the anger that breaks a windshield if you have a flat tire in the morning. I'm not talking about that kind of anger. But I'm talking about when you see some kind of injustice in the world, what is it that makes your blood boil? Andy Stanley asked it this way. He said, what is it that breaks your heart? Some of you guys need to ask the question, what is it that breaks God's heart? And what breaks God's heart should break ours. I remember listening to Andy. I was sitting in the audience when he put this question up. What breaks your heart? And I knew exactly, right in the moment, exactly what breaks my heart. And I'll tell you, you guys probably can guess it. And I texted him while he's in the middle of the sermon. I said, Andy, you want to know what breaks my heart? Broken men break my heart. Because broken men break hearts. Broken men break marriages. They break families. They break communities. Half of our issues are because of broken men, right? What is it for you? Some of you come out of single parent homes and you can't stand it. That mother that you saw work two and three jobs so that she can put two shirts on your back. That part of your story is the thing that gets your blood boiling. Some of you guys were bullied when you were younger. You can't stand this sense of unjust and unjust power. Those are some of the things that are shaping you. That's the question on drive. Here's the next one. The next one is your experiences. What experiences make you unique from other people? You may have heard the statement that your life message is going to come out of your mess. It's not going to come out of your successes. It's not going to be the plus tens. But your minus tens, the mess that you had to go through, the home out of which you came. Again, when Michael and I were having breakfast, he tells me he comes over from England at the age of 22, knowing one person in America, because he's fleeing what's going on in his family in England. That's part of the story. The mess begins to drive somebody. What are your unique experiences that you've gone through? The reason I'm doing what I'm doing today, the experiences that I've had, these are the things that are driving me as part of my unique design. The next one is this area of spiritual or spirituality. Next one, it says, Jason, you got it? I know you guys are fellowshipping back there. Under the idea of spiritual or spirituality, how do you connect with God? You know, I think generally speaking at this retreat, most men in the room would think that there is one way to the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, through belief in His life and death and resurrection. But there's many ways to connect to God. Gary Thomas, some of you guys know Gary Thomas, he wrote a book called Sacred Pathways, and he mentioned like seven or eight different pathways. Some of you guys are very intellectual. You love connecting to God through books and study like that. Others of you are relational. You connect best in a circle of men. Some of you are activists. You feel God's pleasure when you're building a house for humanity. Some of you are contemplatives. You love a pen, a piece of paper, and a journal, and a candle, and a cup of coffee. And others of you are aesthetics, where it's like beauty. You know, when you're out and you just see beautiful things, these are ways to connect with God. Pay attention to that. The other thing in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes that there are seven spiritual gifts that are predominantly, there's more than seven, but in Romans 7, some of you have the gift of leadership. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of encouragement. Some of you have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. These are listed in Romans chapter 12. And each one of those gifts, we all don't have them, but we all need them for us to function. Those are the questions there. The next one is impact. What arena do you feel compelled to impact? Politics, business, church? On that first question, we're going to give you guys some time to talk about this in small group. But here's the thing. I want you to listen to me, please. I'm a pastor in a church, right? That's been my life. If you ask me, what arena, John, in the world do you feel compelled to impact? For most of my life, it has been in the church. And in my younger days, I would try to get you guys to help me build my church. That is so wrong. That is so backwards. Because God has put in some of you the arena of politics. I told you earlier today, He's gifted you in business, the ability to make wealth. Some of you are burdened in the church. Some of you are burdened with this human trafficking, the things that's going on with IJM and the injustice of what's going on around the world. But each man here is being given this burden in this particular area of impact. In this next question, some of you guys are going to be tempted to be sarcastic or cynical about it. Like if time, money, and education were not... No, go back. That if time, money, and education were not an issue, what would you do? Some of you guys perhaps showed up this weekend. You heard me say perhaps on this promotion video, our problem is not that we desire too much, but we desire too little. Because something's happened in your story, perhaps, that you've shut desire down. Like, why even talk about time, money, and education if that were not an issue? Why even think about it? Because it ain't going to happen. And these are the beginning remarks of a cynical, critical, bitter man. And we got to fight against it. You say, well, what do you do? I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. I can't. The psalmist said this. The psalmist said, all of my longings lie open before you, O God. Why don't you identify what those desires are and put them in an open hand and say, God, this is what's on my heart. And if it's your will, show me this way. Don't start throwing desire to the ground. Let that drive you. Those are questions about impact. The next one is this, is genius. What do you do repeatedly, successfully, and happily? What do you do extremely well? Some of you guys are blown by your gifts so fast. You do some things so repeatedly, easily, and happily, and you think, well, that's not even work, man. That's really easy for me. Have you guys heard of the book called Strength Finders by Marcus Buckingham? He has a book out, and I stole that question from him. And I remember the first time I heard that question, it was at the time in my life when I wanted to be Andy Stanley. You know, I was speaking at North Point once a year. And then I heard this question, what do you do repeatedly, successfully, and happily? And so I started thinking, well, let's see, do I do it repeatedly? Once a year. Do I do it happily? Not really, because when my family heard that Dad was preaching at North Point, you wouldn't want to be in a 3-mile radius, because I was like just an angry dude. Like, don't interrupt me, man. I'm prepping. You know, it was just so much stress. And did I do it successfully? Apparently not. I haven't been asked back. But when I ask that question, when I think about being here with you guys tonight, today, this weekend, being in a room full of men, thinking about these kinds of things, I could do this just about every weekend, and I love it. I'm energized by it. What is it for you? You guys think about that. Then the last one is, Dave kind of alluded to it on your nature. What's your personality? I'm an extrovert. I'm an ESTJ on Myers-Briggs. Dave's an INTJ. Those are letters that some of you guys, a bunch of you guys know. But your wiring, you are a product of your nature and your nurture. We started with Psalm 139 that said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me, born of two white parents in Miami, Florida. My father was 6'5", I'm 6'3". I had nothing to do with it. I was hardwired this way as an ESTJ. And then I had my story, and I've told you part of my story. And so your nature and your nurture, those things are blended. They're part of your design for God to fulfill His plans and purposes in you. Who are you? Who am I, really? I want you guys to think about that. I want you to talk about it. We'll come back for a few minutes perhaps, and we'll share what we're learning about our identity as sons of God, as men of God, as believers in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, it's been a beautiful day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the glory of the fall. Thank you for the glory of the seasons. The precision of the sun and the moon and the stars that you created, that you sustain, that we enjoy, we say thank you. And as the guys gather tonight and whatever you put on their minds and hearts, I just pray for clarity and just understanding who we are as sons of God, as men of God. And I pray, Jesus, in your name, amen.